What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and today, yes, we are going to talk about baseball. It is August 21st. Oh my gosh, how did I butcher that? It doesn't matter. Parker Messick didn't butcher his MLB debut. 6.2 innings of one earned run, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. It was 8 base runners, but we're happy with this in an MLB debut. How is he doing this? Well, he's actually one of those southpaws that we've been talking about so much. There's a fantastic article from Stefan Nesbitt on The Athletic about the year of the southpaw, and really he's another one of those fastball with a changeup kind of guys. That's a 93-mile-per-hour four-seamer with 16 inches of vert, but slightly flat attack angle, so maybe that vert is okay, but it's bad extension. Doesn't really feel like it's a four-seamer that should be successful. And then it's a changeup that's good underneath it, and that's kind of it. You know, it has 85-mile-per-hour velocity, so it's like eight ticks slower. It is also very different shape than the four seamer, right? It's not close to it just based on velocity. No, it's actually drop and also to the side. So, you know, there's curves and sliders, 1 for 19 whiffs. Okay, I guess he has those for the lefties, but in a sinker, of course, it goes inside the lefties, but it's like your standard changeup guy. I'm trying to figure out a good term for them. I want to just call them Boyd boys. I mean, that's what it is, right? Parker Messick is kind of one of them. He's not that exciting. He had a 116 location plus on the four seamer yesterday. That is a PLV location plus. So even watching him, it looks very wild with this giant flailing release and all, but honestly, he's actually good at command. It was decent control and everything. So yeah, I'm not really too stoked about it. He gets the Rays next. Maybe that's fine. I just don't really feel like I need to run to the waiver wire to get Parker Messick. Hurston Waldrep continued his fantastic renaissance as a pitcher. It was really not... renaissance is good. he was a four-seamer splitter guy initially. I was very much out on that. And he's actually shelved the four-seamer entirely. Kept the splitter. That was his number one pitch here. 71% strike rate and just one hit in, 38 thrown or something. 40% usage overall here. 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks was the result against the White Sox for a win. Yeah, we hold on to this. The question really, though, is how consistent is that splitter going to be? You know me. I don't like splitters as your number one pitch. I just think it's too volatile. I think it's really hard to throw so many strikes with it consistently every single time. And the other stuff is fine. It's a cutter, curve, slider, sinker. It's all okay. They threw strikes, and that's all right. But if he didn't have that splitter, we would not care at all about Waldrep. And that's kind of the problem for me. So fine, start him against the Marlins. Absolutely, I don't think anyone is going to not do that now. But then he gets the Cubs twice in a row. And I feel like you're not going to like that result. Cam Schlittler against the Rays. Oh my gosh, 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. But he was perfect entering the 7th. And he allowed a hit and had 2 walks and got saved by Luke Weaver, who struck out the sole batter he faced, preventing a careful Icarus and 3 earned runs in his name, which would have been so disappointing after such a ridiculously good start. 8 strikeouts, 19 whiffs. I actually showed on the stream, and there's a little video out there about the progression of Cam Schlittler. It's very simple. He has a fantastic four-seamer that stayed where it is at 97.7, right? 97.98. It's been there since his debut. It's great. He throws it upstairs. Thing is, he also had a curveball, a sweeper, and a slider. And all of these were landing upstairs. And it drove me up the wall. And I actually showed his August 2nd start where he had a slider and a sweeper. And they really compared it to this one, which had a cutter, which really is the slider, with less vert, but it's more consistent in a package down vert, which is great. And he located it low. And the curveball was his actual favorite number two pitch, was low as well. And it had a high strike rate. It was great. Everything is wonderful here. This is the most complete version of Cam we want. He is your prototypical fastball cutter curve guy. You would think maybe a changeup could show up here, but it's great. And you want Cam on your team. He's now, looks like, figured something out with getting the ball down. It was also in Tampa Bay, and talking to Eno yesterday on The Craft, it's not fun pitching in Tampa Bay. It feels like a different mound. Pitches do not move regularly. It's an interesting thing to think about when you're sending guys down into Tampa Bay. So maybe that helped Cam. Maybe it was like, oh, I have, you know, this is the environment I needed. I don't know. Long story short, I am very excited moving forward. And I'm also disappointed that one of my streams did not return a no-hitter slash perfect game as Spencer Turnbull and Reed Detmers did in the past. Martin Perez against Atlanta, 5.1 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Do not overlook the Boyd boys. Maybe that's going to stick. We'll see. Let me know. Please reach out to me on Twitter. Send an email, whatever you want, info@pedros.com. Anyway, yeah, this is your standard thing of changeups away. Right, with sinkers and cutters and four-seamers and curveballs kind of all in the mix, it's Martin Perez. Honestly, you could do worse than Martin Perez. He's doing the thing that he's, you know, trying to do. We've seen good stretches from him in the past. The next start will be against the Royals and then the Yankees. So you don't really want to go for this for Martin Perez. And it's not in Kauffman. It's in Chicago. But don't rule him out. I mean, he'll get the Tigers and the Rays after. Could work. Sandy Alcantara, my gosh, two straight starts of 7 innings of glory, of glorious baseball. I got the win against the Cardinals in Miami. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts, 20 whiffs, 36% CSW. Okay, 114 pitches, so the 20 whiffs isn't as egregious, right? Still, what's going on? Well, it's the second straight start of the changeup being the foundation. And that had a 40% CSW, 9 over 30 whiffs, lots of strikes, and it was his most thrown pitch, and that then set up the fastballs to go 6 outs between them. And then you have sliders and curves looking good. And there's so much about this that I don't know where to start. Like, the Marlins should not be allowing Sandy Alcantara to go 114 pitches. Remember, he's coming back from Tommy John. This is his first season back. And he was already at 127 innings before this. And now he throws 114 pitches later in the season. I mean, are they monitoring him properly? And then they think, of course, well, it doesn't matter if he's hurt next year, because he won't be on our team then. He's going to be dope now. We're going to let him go 7 innings, throw all these pitches, show himself as a workhorse again, so that the ramifications of that don't matter to us. Oh, boy. Now Sandy Alcantara gets Atlanta, and then the Mets, and then the Phillies. And on one hand, yeah, I do think that what he's doing is like old Alcantara now, right? The changeup being such a focus sets up the four-seamer and sinker. Those aren't being spotted beautifully, but they're strikes and they're being sequenced well. So fine. I'd say try it against Atlanta and see what happens. You know, if that's good, then we keep going. If it's not, if it's a step back, it's only been 2 games of this, then okay, we move on. Yusei Kikuchi against the Reds carpet. He excelled. 7 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. What's crazy about this, though? If you recall last year, he was traded to the Astros, right? And what was the big analysis, which is always so fascinating to me, I've got to mention this, it was that he moved away from the curveball, right? He started throwing more sliders. That's what the Astros said. And initially, it was actually changeups first, and then that disappeared, and then eventually he just cut off the curveball completely. And what's funny to me is that sometimes guys will do those things. They'll say, what? I'm going to cut away this thing, and then I'm just going to throw these. And we treat it like it's 3 starts, and oh, he's found out the secret and stuff. Well, no, he's found the thing that works right now. Sometimes you want to come back to it. Sometimes it's like Blake Snell's putting the changeup in timeout, and now he comes back to it, right? So what happens now? He throws 42% curveballs in this one as his most thrown pitch, of course. And it's pretty hilarious. It's Kikuchi always changing what he does. He is unpredictable. He's a hipster. And it's the Angels, who I don't think are a team that can really direct him and save him and fix all the problems. Like, he threw so few sliders in this. That's supposed to be the thing that's good with Kikuchi. So, yeah, he's a hipster. And don't let this one game against a very, very good matchup change that. He gets the Rangers next, and that should be a good matchup too, but you don't know what you're going to get. Tanner Gorin pitched, and yes, he is a Colorado pitcher. I'm happy he got 1 run in 6 innings, but no. JP Sears returned, and I'm going to tell you about that one, and Jesus Lazardo, Nick Martinez, Johan Oviedo, after this break. JP Sears, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts against the Giants. It's a great mistake. Just 2K, so obviously Koufax helped, got the win. It's cool to see him back from AAA. They sent him down there and said, cool, we need to fix some things. What did they fix? Not much. There is a higher emphasis on changeups, but at a 46% strike rate. But it did get some outs, did get some whiffs. I think that's the way to go. Try to be a Boyd boy, right? But yeah, it's not something I'm ready to jump in yet with Sears. Nick Martinez, honestly, I feel like it's a gold star bid just because of how good it was. Six innings, one run, two hits, one walk, and seven Ks against the Angels. The Angels have been a tough offense. He really bore down and threw some good changeups, some good curveballs as well, held back the fastballs. That's cool. Now he gets the Dodgers, Jays, Mets, and then goes to Sacra Verde if he's in this rotation spot. It's a five-man, and Lodolo doesn't take it over. So win-win? No, lose-lose. A lot of times win-wins are also lose-lose, but no, this is a lose-lose all the way through. Jesús Luzardo against the Mariners got the win. Six innings, one run, three hits, zero walks, and 12 strikeouts. 21 whiffs, 43% CSW for a golden goal. And despite all the talk about southpaws throwing changeups, guess what he did? Not throw changeups. Only three of them. This is the second straight start I think we've seen them. Maybe third, but I think it's the second. Sweepers and four-seamers were all the rage to left-handers and right-handers alike. 52% CSW and a 9 over 29 whiffs on that sweeper to right-handers. That's incredible. And I really hope that the valley we saw in the middle of the summer is the only one we see. We gotta get those peaks going. So yeah, we are totally going with it with Luzardo moving forward. Johan Oviedo, though, is worth a spec add. Now, it might not be for like 10 teamers or so. It's worth it if you have the room in a 12. But here's the situation. He went against the Jays. Good offense. Got the win. Five innings, one run, two hits, one walk, and six Ks. Yes, in PNC Park, not. Rogers Center, still very good. And Oviedo's skills are legit. Like 7.5 feet of extension on the four-seamer, 7.6 on the sinker. 95th percentile flat 1.7 height adjusted VAA. I mean, I just said 95th. It could be like 98th, but just understand how good that is. So if you have elite extension and elite attack angle, like at 95, that is Wheeler's four-seamer, but better, right? It's flatter than Wheeler's. It has a little bit more extension than Wheeler's. So you just have to command the thing upstairs now. And he doesn't. At least he has a sinker paired with it, which is good, and that helps the two of them, but he doesn't command it. The thing that he has that Wheeler doesn't is a slider that has an 8 for 26 whiff rate here and has always been a very good one, 77% strikes, but really it's that command. So I don't know if he's going to have a 1 over 6 strikes on the sinker, 50% strike rate on the four-seamer in this one. Just I think he got one of them up. It was up and away inside the zone to a lefty, and he needs to actually be like up in middle all the time. I don't really think he's going to be that, but the fact that he did well despite those fastballs not performing because the slider is really good, maybe that's enough. I don't know. It's interesting. He gets the Cardinals next, which seems good, but this was also only 75 pitches. Are they going to be low with Oviedo? And it could be a 4.1 inning game or something like that. So I think that's really my biggest hesitation. If I knew that he would be able to go 90 pitches next time, I would say, you know what? Take a chance. See what happens. Pop the cork, finger snapping. Spin the wheel, round, round, round we go. I'm not going to do the whole song. Brandon fought against the Guardian. Seven innings, 200 runs, five hits, one walk, and five Ks. Whoa! The changeup, 29% usage. It looked like a neck beard with that and the sinker around the strike zone. Love that. They had a very similar movement, though. It was a 7 mile per hour gap, so it was a little confusing in that way, and that's why they both combined for 11 outs and just two hits. The curve was around, the cutter was around, the four-seamer was around. It's not enough for me to really get involved here with Brandon Pfaadt. The sweeper is also not dominant to right-handers still, and he's going to get the Brewers and the Dodgers next. I just don't feel like this is enough for me to go after Pfaadt, but I'm happy that the changeup command is there, and also the sinker command underneath it actually was pretty cool. Drew Rasmussen, six innings, 200 runs, five hits, two walks, and six Ks against the Yankees. That's beautiful. Everything's great. And I don't really think about the limitations anymore. 91 pitches. This was against the Yankees in Tampa Bay. Just start Rasmussen, okay? Charlie Morton, eight strikeouts against the Astros. Got the win, six innings, 200 runs, three hits, three walks to go, those eight Ks. And he had a 59% CSW on that curveball. 90% strikes. 10 over 29 whiffs. Incredible. Now, he gets Sacra Verde next. And then it's the Mets. So, if you're chasing strikeouts, that's good. If you're not, don't. The ratios are still a little bit weird. You have Chris Bassett against the Pirates opposite Oviedo. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 10 Ks. As good as you could hope for, except he didn't get the win. And that's why you have Bassett. yeah, the 10 strikeouts happened before when the curveball was actually just as good as this, but it's rarely been that the entire season. And you should not be banking on this from Chris Bassett. If you want to go against it with the Twins, fine. But I'm just not a believer here. Colin Ray survived against the Brewers 5.2 innings, got the win with 200 runs, 3 hits, and 5 walks in 3 Ks. Also earned a bar in Iowa, free mozzarella sticks from Boog Sciambi. And the broadcasting crew in the Cubs, it was amazing. But go watch that video if you didn't. He induced a double play. It's fine. Long story short, Colin Ray is a streamer. He gets the Giants next. He wasn't a streamer for this because it was the Brewers. I'm happy he got you that win, but the next one should be clearer. Bailey Ober, oh my gosh. He went against the Athletics in Minnesota, so that's a great matchup, and he really took advantage. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. You love this. He didn't get the win, but still great. 18 whiffs, 32% CSW, 82 pitches. And boy, you gotta think that this is good, right? However, there's a problem. His MO has been 91, 92 mile per hour four seamers upstairs as the foundation. We know this. This is what we've been chasing. He was at 89 and had a 52% strike rate on that four seamer. So what happened here is the changeup was good, like very good. 73% strikes, 6 over 26 whiffs. It's been a very much of a cornerstone of Ober being Ober. Awesome. And the breaking balls, the ones that really have failed him a ton, the sweeper and the slider were great. 11 over 31 whiffs, and they were generally outside. And they were also, actually, that includes 5 curveballs, 2 for 5 on those. So that's 11 for 31. They were outside of right-handers a ton. I'm going to blame this on the Athletics, though. That just does not feel right to me. That Bailey Ober had the success with the things that normally are the failures, and the things that are success did not work. That is the fastball. I'm not chasing this. He gets the Jays next. I feel terrified about that one, especially at 89. I don't think I've seen Bailey Ober at 89, not even like 89.8. It was like 89.2, 89.3, like definitively 89. So, yeah, that's scary. Noah Cameron against the Rangers, 4.2 innings. He just couldn't get that last out. 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. 50% strikes on the changing curve. And there's your inefficiency. For the most part, he located well inside the zone when he did. He limited hits, got a strikeout per inning. We move on. Should be better next time. JT Ginn against the Twins, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. He was close. He could kind of squint to see the changeup working away to left-handers and the sinker coming up and in, maybe some cutters in there. And then you have the slider away to right-handers and sinkers around. You can kind of make it out. But yeah, he needs more polish, and I'm not ready to do this. Jacob Mizorowski, I think he should still hold, even though he only went 4 innings against the Cubs, got the loss, 300 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks. Yeah, 1 hit, 3 walks, 5 Ks. And he allowed 300 runs. Come on. Also, 78 pitches. That's fine. 5 strikeouts and 4 innings. He should be more worthwhile for you. That's also a 1 whip, just so you know. It was against the Cubs. I mean, really, like, you keep going with Mizorowski. He's going to help more than hurt. Luis Castillo, though, I don't know. Against the Phillies, a lot of fears have been realized. 4 innings, 300 runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. 8 whiffs, 23% CSW. Long story short, he threw too many mistake sliders that the Phillies really hit. Also, those four seamers and sinkers that he's keeping upstairs. Well, they're at 94 now. Actually, the sinker was at 93.8, directly at 94 for the four seamer. And those are getting hit too. And the changeup isn't helping. And I'm just looking at this going, yep, this is the story. This is what we've been following. And it doesn't feel like it's getting better anytime soon. Caleb Buechele started for the Rangers for 3 innings, but he really opened for Jacob Latz, who came in later for 3.1 innings. But Buechele went 68 pitches. He is nothing special. It's like 91 mile per hour heaters and no good breaker or anything. While Jacob Latz is 95 with good vert on his four-seamer, 18 inches. And then he has a changeup that misses bats and a slider that works against lefties. Like, whoa, boy, you need a little bit better command, I think, of getting that changeup down a bit and keeping the Blake Snell blueprint alive. But he only went 43 pitches. He's not stretched out. So that's why he didn't start this one proper, but he got 3 innings with it. Jacob Latz should be someone that you focus on for next year. If he does get regular starts and is stretched out, you might actually see Jacob Latz as someone interesting down the stretch. Brad Lord had a good start last time, and we didn't really expect it to happen this time, and it didn't. That said, it was 5 innings of 100-run ball, and then it was a careful Icarus with 3 in the 6th. But 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. You don't want to go with Brad Lord, really. I can see a world where he's able to get his sinkers inside with a ton of horizontal movement and has a decent changeup and slider and stuff, but I don't think it's really going to come together here. Kodai Senga against the Nationals, 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts, 10 whiffs. I honestly feel like he's better than what we just saw. Like, this was his pitches doing their thing for the most part. It didn't work out against the Nationals. It was far better than what we saw post All-Star break, essentially, for a little bit. He's in a better place now. I think, I know that sounds like a funeral. No, I don't mean like that. His ability is better than it was before, and I feel like you're fine with Kodai Senga. Just keep rolling him out there. Andre Palante didn't do well. Surprise more at 11. Then we have three weird ones. Framber Valdez allowed each of the first 6 base runners to reach, and then he finally recorded an out. So we got bamboozled for 6 runs in the first, and then was 1 earned run for the next 4 innings. So 5 innings of 7 earned runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. Fortunately for you guys, he actually went 4 innings after that with 1 earned run to try to help. But yeah, the curveball was off. It's going to be better next time. Landon Roop had a terrible game. 2.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. And then had a comebacker where it hit him. And then because of him reacting to it, he moved his left leg, and that hurt his knee, and he had to be carted off. So yes, you can drop Landon Roop. And then you have Shohei Ohtani, 4 innings and 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks in Coors. Oh man, he didn't adjust for the thin air with his breaking stuff. So a lot of them got way more of the plate than they should. They should be off the plate to right-handers. That's where the Colorado Rockies are so susceptible. And he just let them hit this constantly. And then he also got a comebacker to the thigh that apparently was the same place where he had a hit-by-pitch before, and it messed with him. They took him out in 66 pitches. And that's honestly the thing that bothers me the most. I just want to feel like Shohei Ohtani is going to be able to throw 85 to 90 pitches in a game. We haven't seen it yet. I want 5 innings. So I feel like we just go with it and hope that he will go 5 innings next time. We'll have more information about that injury and if it's actually substantial enough for Ohtani. I bet he gets like an off day today or maybe tomorrow, but that should be it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. I can't wait to watch Bubba Chandler and in a bulk relief role on playback for free. That is, MLB.TV is free this weekend. So even if you don't have MLB.TV, you can watch the live game with us. And that's also going to be Shane Bieber. And if Robbie Snelling is making his MLB debut, we'll be watching that one too. So that starts 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Friday night. I will be there. I will be watching. This is my Friday night plan. So come on by to playback.tv/pitcherlist. It is awesome. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.